Welcome to the Light Church Podcast. This is David Oaks. I'm pastor of the Light Church Fellowship in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and founder of David Oaks Ministries and Israel Study Tours with David Oaks. Thanks for joining us on this newest edition of the Light Church Podcast. If you'd like to find out more about David Oaks or David Oaks Ministries, please log on to our website at www.davidoaksministries.org. You can find further teaching on there, free downloads from our online healing school, as well as a products page. And on that products page, you can find our music CDs, and you can find out further teaching that can be purchased. Now, today, on this edition of the Light Church Podcast, we're going to begin to look at a really favorite line of study of mine, and it's the study of miracles. Our God is a miracle-working God. You know, it's one thing to know that God does miracles or God can do miracles, but God wants to do that which is above and beyond this natural plane. I remember years ago when I was in Bible school, a great teacher of the Word of God by the name of Kenneth Hagin defined miracles this way: a supernatural intervention in the ordinary course of nature, a temporary suspension of the accustomed order, an interruption of the system of nature as we know it. That is a marvelous definition of the word miracles. But it's one thing to know that God can perform miracles. But one day, a few years ago, I sat down and began to study because I'm a Bible teacher, and I wanted to be able to inform people exactly what I could expect and what areas I could expect God to use His miracle power in. It's one thing to know that God performs miracles, but we can learn by studying the Bible God's tendencies. The Bible says that we're to be mindful of the devil's strategies and the wiles of the devil. Well, we need to be mindful of what God's tendencies are also. You find a football team, an offense and defensive coordinators, and one of their main jobs is to find out the tendencies of the opposing team. The defensive coordinator is to find out what the tendencies are of the opposing offense. What are they most apt to do in certain situations? Well, we need to know what God's tendencies are in certain situations, and God is a miracle-working God, but I need to know what areas God is most apt to use His miracle power in. Now, I want you to see something. It says in Acts, the chapter 1, Jesus has raised from the dead. He's walked on the earth with the disciples for a while, and now He's getting ready to be caught up to heaven. And He tells them this in verse 8 of Acts chapter 1, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." So there's 120 people gathered together in the upper room of Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit falls upon them. They begin to speak with tongues as the Spirit gives them utterance. But here is the main purpose. God said that when the Holy Ghost came upon them, they were going to receive power. "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." The word power there in Greek is the word dunamis or dunamis, however you want to pronounce it. We're not here for a Greek language lesson. But on this, the Light Church Podcast, for your information, we need to know that this word for power, there are several words in Greek for power, but this word is the word dunamis. And dunamis is a specific kind of power. And God said that they were going to be endued with power from on high, and that power was the dunamis power. So there they were in Acts, the second chapter, together, and the Holy Ghost fell upon them, and that was the dunamis power. Now, in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, the Lord is going through and teaching us about the gifts of the Spirit. In fact, in verse 1 of chapter 12, the Bible says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts." Now, most will know that are students of the Bible that when a word is italicized in the text, that it was actually placed there by the translators for clarity. But in this case, the word gifts could probably be left out, and it's not going to remove anything from the original text because it wasn't there anyway. But we could have, "Now concerning spiritual, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." The word spiritual here is the Greek word pneumatikos. It can also be translated as the supernatural. the supernatural. You can look in any Greek concordance and see that. So it could say, now concerning the supernatural, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. God does not want us to be misinformed. God is a supernatural God, and there should be an expectation of supernatural things occurring in our lives, in the lives of our churches, in the lives of our people. So because God doesn't want us to be misinformed, then he goes about by the mouth of the Apostle Paul and by the writings of the Apostle Paul that were given to him by inspiration of the Spirit, because remember, all Scripture is inspired by God. All Scripture is God-breathed. And so God is breathing forth this Scripture through the heart, through the mind, and through the hand of the Apostle Paul. And these are the information that God gives. He gives forth that the Holy Spirit, the great power of the living God, the Holy Spirit manifests himself in 9 different ways. If the Holy Ghost is going to manifest himself, he is going to manifest himself in 1 of these 9 ways. Now today we're not going to concern ourselves with 8 of these 9 ways, because primarily we are studying the subject of miracles. Now remember, in Acts the 1st chapter verse 8, the Lord told the disciples, the soon to be apostles, that there was going to be power come upon them when the Holy Ghost came upon them. Then we get into verse 7 of 1 Corinthians the 12th chapter, and the Lord's telling us he's a supernatural God. We're going to see that in just a moment. That means he's above this natural plane. God is not held captive. He's not held in check by the natural. God does things bigger than the natural. He goes beyond the natural. God is supernatural. Notice what it says in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The Amplified Bible says, for good and profit. The manifestations of the Spirit are so that we can receive good and so that we can profit, that we can gain. God wants us better off than we are right now, and the supernatural is so that we can be better off than we are right now. Notice this, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. God's plan is profit for us. Profit spiritually, profit mentally, profit in our strength, profit in our minds, profit and gain financially. God's whole plan is profit and advancement. God is not a God that wants to hold you back. God is a God who wants you to receive good. You know, it's unfortunate in this day and time that you can see a natural disaster and people talk about it being an act of God. God is not in the business of destruction. God is in the business of building and profiting and growing and producing and being fruitful and being super abundant and giving forth abundantly and exceedingly bountifully. That's God's plan. That's God's way of doing things. Because in John 10:10, a scripture that many of you learned when you were in Bible school, the thief cometh but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have life more abundantly. Abundant life is not destruction. Abundant life is having added to. It's advancement. It's being able to superabound. It's being full. It's enjoying. That's what God does, and that's what God expects for us to experience in our life. Now notice this, that's why we can't be ignorant of the supernatural. Some people are blaming God for things that God didn't have a hand in. That's because they're misinformed, they're ill-informed, they're ignorant of that which God does and what he doesn't do. It's the devil that is the thief that destroys and kills. But our God is a good God. Verse 7 again in 1 Corinthians 12 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So it goes down and it talks about what is given to man in the gifts of the Spirit. Again, that's not our topic today. We just want to drop down into one verse in verse 10 and pick out of these 9 manifestations, one manifestation, and it says, to another, the working of miracles. Part of the supernatural workings of God is the working of miracles. God is a miracle worker. Now, the word miracle here in the King James Bible comes also from that Greek word dunamis or dunamis, again, however you want to pronounce it. We're not here for Greek grammar and Greek pronunciations today. But it's the same word we found over in Acts the 1st chapter, verse 8. It is, glory to God, part and parcel of the Holy Spirit and his ministry. is, glory to Jesus, the power of miracles. It said that you would receive power when they were in Jerusalem. That same power is working in the believers today. Then over here it says that the Holy Ghost is out giving forth gifts so that man will prosper. And one of those gifts is so that man will profit and experience good. And one of those gifts is the working of miracles or the working of power. The Holy Spirit works his power for the good of man. And you need to know that. You need to know today that whatever situation that you are experiencing and you don't think there's a way out, there is a way out. The Holy Ghost is there to give you a way out by his power because he's not natural. He doesn't have to work it with your strength. He doesn't have to depend on you to get out of your situation. Did you hear what I said? Our God is a miracle-working God by the power of the Holy Spirit. So part of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit and what he does is to manifest forth his power. And that same power is on the inside of believers, spirit-filled believers, that same miracle-working power. Now, that's good news to me. Now, it's one thing to know that his power is on the inside of you. It's another thing to realize that he wants to use that power for you. Entirely, it's a different situation. And it's another situation to know that there are areas that God is more apt to use his power than any other area. Now let's look over here, if you would please, at Acts the 10th chapter, where Peter is preaching to the house of the Gentiles, of Cornelius' house. And here's the house of Gentiles, and he's preaching under the anointing of the Spirit. And he talks about God is no respecter of persons. Isn't it good to know that if we all do equally the same thing in alignment with the Word of God, God is no respecter of persons. He's not going to bless one person more than another person. If we're all things being equal, if we're all doing equal things, then there's going to be blessings for all of us. Glory be unto God. Now, as he's preaching this, he says in verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Notice that Jesus, functioning here on this earth, was anointed by God. And notice what God anointed him with, the Holy Ghost and with power. Now, I want you to get in your mind's eye that the word anointing, it's like a rubbing in. I mean, it's a pouring on, it's a rubbing in. They were anointed in old times and it covered them. The anointing of God, of the oil, covered them from their head to their toe, dripped down through their beard, the Bible tells us, went down to their feet, they were covered. Anointing, it's a rubbing in of God's power. Now notice what it says, he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. God rubbed in the power into Jesus, and it made Jesus able to go about and do good and heal all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. An anointed person with power is able to go forth and do good. Now, here's the enjoyable aspect of this, that this word power is that same word dunamis again, the same word we had in Acts the first chapter, the same power that came upon all those, the 120 in the upper room, the same power that is the working of miracles in 1 Corinthians the 12th chapter. There is a working of God's power. Then that same power is the same power that Jesus Christ was anointed with. Hallelujah. So those in the 120, just normal men and women, were endued with power, baptized with the Holy Ghost. The power was in them. That is the same miracle power that Jesus functioned under, and the same miracle power that the Holy Ghost dispenses in the body of Christ so that good and profit can come to the body of Christ. Now, my friends, that is good news to this minister. That is really, really good news that each one of us, just like those in the upper room, can have this same power in us and flowing out of us as did Jesus have. I mean, God did not leave us unequipped. He gave forth his Holy Ghost power to us, the miracle power, the power that will enable us to live above this natural realm. That's the dunamis power, and that's for each one of us. In fact, you can go to Ephesians. We ought to just turn there. Now, I realize some are listening in your cars, listening on the job, But some of you might be in front of your computers, or you might even possibly make a CD out of this. And you need to know this, that the Apostle Paul prayed for this group of people in the church at Ephesus, and prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. He wants us to know, the Apostle Paul is praying a prayer that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ would come to a revelation insight of what is the exceeding greatness of His power. That is the dunamis. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe. And then the Amplified Bible says, as demonstrated by the working of His mighty power. The demonstration is the word kratos. You can look at dunamis, where we get the English word dynamite. I define it this way. The Lord gave me this definition years ago in my ministry, as all of the necessary ingredients to cause a manifestation, because that is what we have, all of the necessary ingredients to cause a manifestation. And then we have kratos, which is the actual explosion of all of those necessary ingredients to cause a manifestation. Now, the Apostle Paul was praying that we get insight into the power that's on the inside of us, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which was demonstrated by the raising of Christ Jesus from the dead. How much power do you have in you? Well, you have enough power that it was the same manifestation of this power that raised up Christ from the depths of hell when He went and did combat and took the keys from Satan and raised victoriously on the third day. That was the dunamis power that raised Him up, and that same power is on the inside of believers. And that same power is the miracle-working manifestation power of the Holy Ghost, and the Apostle Paul is praying that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ get a hold of this revelation, get a hold of this truth, get a hold of this fact, that you understand just how much power is on the inside of you, born again believer. You have resurrection power on the inside of you. Say, could you tell me exactly what this will do for me? It will do exactly what it did for Jesus. It'll raise you up out of your dead places. It'll raise you up out of your dry places. It'll raise you up out of those places where if you have lack and need. This power, this dunamis power, will make you something new in your life and minister unto you good and minister unto you profit. And that's God's holy plan for you, my friend. That's good news. Our God wants you to know that He has got good news for you, and He wants you to know that He desires for you to profit and be better off tomorrow than you are today. And He does that by His miracle power. Oh, you've got power on the inside of you, my friend. You have got power on the inside of you. And that is the good news from the Word of God. Now, as I said as we began the podcast, it's not good enough to know that God will do miracles, that He wants to do miracles. It is necessary for us to know the tendencies of God. What areas is God most apt to use His miracle power? What areas? Well, the Bible can teach us, if we just look in the Bible, study the Bible, be more than casual readers. You know, Paul told Timothy, the young pastor, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we're going to get into the Bible and simply rightly divide it. I remember one minister years ago used to say concerning that scripture, he said, if the Bible's implication is that if you can rightly divide the word of truth, you can wrongly divide the word of truth. So we're going to get into the Bible and study to show ourselves approved, a workman. The word workman is the word ergates in Greek, and it means, one translation is, it means a teacher. God wants us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, so that we will be teachers. We'll be able to teach others also. That's God's plan, that you not just get information for yourself, but that you pass that information on. Each one of us, glory to God, can pass this information on. You can pass on to somebody else that God is a supernatural God, that God has better things in store for people than lack and deadness in their life and sickness. But there is a God of power, and that power works on the inside of them, that miracle power. And that miracle power is the same miracle power that raised Jesus up from the dead, and it'll raise them out of all the dead places in their life. And God wants you to pass that information on to somebody else, not just keep it for yourself, but give it to somebody else. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Always remember, there's more where that came from. Oh, praise be unto God. There's more where that came from. You can give out what you got, and there's more where that came from. You can sow your money and give your money. There's more where that came from. God has not run out of anything, nor will he run out of anything. You can give it away, glory to God, and God will give you more. And that's the good news. Praise the Lord. Now, we're going to look at those categories, but first we want to look at another scripture in Galatians, the third chapter. Galatians, the third chapter. And it says in verse 5, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Notice that again. He therefore, that's the Almighty God, that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Well, how does he go about working miracles among us? Is it by the works, by what we do, or is it by faith? Well, it's by faith. It's by faith, my friend. Everything comes to us from God by faith. Did you know your lack and your needs not what brings God on the scene? Your faith in God coming on the scene is what brings God on the scene. God answers faith. God looks out for faith. God is encouraged by those who exhibit faith in him. I mean, others can doubt. God will never doubt his word, and that's what God wants from us, that we never doubt his word, and that we believe that God will come on the scene and deliver us when deliverance is needed, and that we believe that God will stay on the scene and keep us out of those areas where we need deliverance. Praise the Lord. But how do miracles happen? By faith. Now, how does Romans, the 10th chapter, tell us that faith comes? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So in order for me to believe God for miracles, which require faith to come on, this power comes on by faith, by believing God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Miracles don't happen because you see things a certain way. Miracles happen because you believe things a certain way. Faith is not walking by sight. We know that. Don't we, my friends listening to this podcast? We know that. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if I want miracles to happen, if I want this power, this manifestation of the Spirit to minister good and profit in my life, then I need to hear the word of God on it. So we're using this avenue of the podcasting to teach about a miracle-working God. And let me tell you what. He will do it for all of us if we abide by the principles that the Word gives us. But we need to come to a place where we expect God to do His delivering deeds. Praise the Lord. So we're going to get the Word of God and find out the tendencies of God and in what areas He's most apt to use His power, miracle power, so that we can live above this realm and live in the realm of the supernatural. Remember, it's a light thing for God. It's not difficult at all. So what we're going to do is we're going back into the Old Testament first. In the Old Testament, we find primarily in the book of 1 Kings and then in 2 Kings, the ministry of two men. And then in time, we might possibly also come over into the New Testament to study the life of Jesus. That's not a bad one to study. But we're going to look at the life of Elisha and his predecessor and his mentor, Elijah. Elijah functioned on the earth, and the Bible records for us 8 different miracles. Now, Elijah probably, more than likely, performed more than 8 miracles by the Holy Spirit's power in his ministry. But the Holy Spirit only chose to record 8 for us. Now, upon his departure, when he was caught up in the chariot, he had asked his protege, he said, What do you want? And he said, I want a double portion of that anointing. And so we can find that, in fact, there was a double portion imparted unto Elijah. And Elijah performed 8 miracles. And in the ministry of Elisha, it is recorded for us 16 miracles. And so I simply went through the miracles. And we're going to start with Elisha, the protege, and then we're going to go to his predecessor, his mentor, Elijah. And I simply took a graph paper, and I categorized what areas their miracles took place in, because I want to know where I can most expect God to use his miracle power for me and mine and for my congregation and for those who I minister to when I'm on the road. I want to know, and I want you to know. Why do you need to know? It is so that you, my friend, it is so that you can release your faith and have assurance that God will come through by his supernatural power. Isn't that good news? Now, it's interesting that 8 in Hebrew, there are spiritual significance put with numbers, and 8 is also the number, the word shmone, or shmona, depending upon the gender that we're speaking of. In Hebrew, shmone is the number 8, and shmone is where we get the root for the word shemen, and that is, my friend, the word for oil. Oil is what was used in the anointing. Oil is what is rubbed in, glory to God. That's what was poured upon. And so from this 8, we can find that 8 is also the resurrection number. The first day of the week is the first day. The last day of the week is the 7th day. And by necessity, the 8th day of the week, which would be the first day again repeated, the first day would be the 8th day, and Jesus rose on the first day of the week, which by necessity would be the 8th day. You get that? And so 8 is the number for resurrection, the resurrection power. That's good news to know. It's the number for anointing. It's the number for superabundance if we study the Word of God. So 8 is a vitally important number. And so here we have Elijah performing 8 miracles recorded in the Word of God. And it is a sign by that number that the anointing is involved, that superabundance is involved, that the power, the resurrection power, is involved. And then we have Elijah, his protege, performing twice that many. It's just more power. It's a double grouping of 8. And let me tell you what, my friends, that is superabundance written out for us all over. The miracle power is for profit and gain. Superabundance, we're talking about the anointing of God. When the Holy Ghost comes upon the scene, there is power. When the Holy Ghost comes upon the scene, there is superabundance. When the Holy Ghost comes upon the scene, there is supernatural. When the Holy Ghost comes upon the scene, there is profit. There is resurrection from that place that you are to the place that you desire to be. That is what's necessary, glory to God, to happen when the Holy Spirit comes upon the scene. He is not the forgotten member of the Godhead. Oh no, he is moving. This is the dispensation of the Holy Ghost that we live in. Ever since Jesus left and ever since the Holy Ghost came in Acts the 2nd chapter verse 4, the Holy Ghost has been here. And the Holy Ghost is doing his mighty exploits. And so, we're about to come to an end in this particular podcast. But my friends, let me tell you this. We're going to get into the categories of miracles in the Bible. And you will be blessed. And you will know exactly what the tendencies of God are and is. What the tendencies are for God to use his miracle power, what categories he will use his miracle power for. Well, this is David Oakes. Again, I'm pastor of the Light Church Fellowship in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and I am founder of David Oakes Ministries and Israel Study Tours with David Oakes. Now, join us again on our next podcast as we come to you from Bartlesville, Oklahoma. We want you to remember, join us at www.davidoaksministries.org. If you're in Oklahoma, drop by and see us at the Light Church Fellowship. Praise the Lord for you. Thank God you're listening, and be blessed in Jesus' holy name.